Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
Of the entire population of the earth, the two happiest people on earth are these two women sitting in this little house in the northern part of Judah in the hill country. They're not rich. They're women, which means they have no status or reputation among men at all, but they're the happiest people on earth. Why? Because they believed.
In this episode of Triumphal Feast, we continue with the message, Mary Believes. Last time we saw how Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy just like her son John would later do in his ministry. Today we pick up the account in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 43.
And then she says, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? What a humble statement she makes. She's older. And yet she says it's an honor that this young lady is coming to visit her. You know, Zacharias could learn a lesson from his wife and from his niece. I think the disciples got the same rebuke from the Lord when little children came up to him and they tried to send them away. And he said, no, you sit down and shut up, Mac, just like these kids are acting. You need to be more like them. You need to be more humble. You need to be more pure in your thinking. And you need to be more less high on what you think you know. These kids know they don't know anything, and they're coming to me because they love me and they want to be around me. He said, you need to act that way. Because how many times do we find the disciples arguing about who's going to be the greatest? How many times do we find the mom saying, hey, what can I pay you to get my sons? That's basically what she's asking, isn't it? What can I do to get my sons that choice position? We need to be more like Mary. We need to be more like Elizabeth. We need to be more like those children and humble ourselves. And then I want everybody to repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, for my King James Bible. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me, not the mother of my God? Mary is not the mother of God. Mary is the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ because she gave birth to the body that the Word of God joined with. Okay? Elizabeth understood that. Okay? The Redeemer had a body and Mary gave birth to that. But brethren, we need to listen to what Job said long before Jesus is born into the world. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand in the latter day. Job understood that his Redeemer was God and that when the Redeemer came, that's not when he came into existence. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Elizabeth understood that. She said, what is this honor that has come to me? You know, I don't know if Zacharias was able to communicate to Elizabeth who their baby was going to be. Obviously, he was able to communicate some because when they asked Mary later on, what's his name going to be? She says, John. So she had heard from Zacharias somehow, whether he wrote it down or figured out signs. But she understood that the baby in her was not going to be called Zacharias or some other family name. That the baby in her was going to be called John. And if she knew that, you know what? I think she knew what John's job was going to be. Because she set herself aside in the vow of the Nazarite because her son was going to have the vow of the Nazarite upon him his entire life. And now all of a sudden, Mary shows up, and what's in her son is now welling up in her. She knows exactly what's going on. She's saying, I'm the second most blessed woman in the world. You're the most blessed. But wow, what a blessing is it to me that even before my son preaches a word, I get to say the same message that he is going to say. Wow, we can learn a lot from these two women, can't we? And she explains to her, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Mary came down there to confirm her belief by just seeing if Elizabeth was pregnant. And Elizabeth says, not only am I pregnant, but the baby that I'm carrying leapt for joy when it heard your voice, because you're carrying the Messiah. She tells her the whole thing, the exact same thing that the angel says, Elizabeth says to her as well. And then she says something very interesting. Verse 45, and blessed is she that believed. Who is the she that believed? It's Mary. It's Mary. She's saying, Mary, you're joyful because you believed. It doesn't record that she slapped Zacharias at that point, but picture it. It was just the two sisters there. But if Zacharias is sitting there, she said, see what you missed? She's joyful because she believed. You know, Zacharias has to live with that fact. I didn't believe, and now I'm silent for this amount of time. Now, there was some blessing in that silence that we talked about. But folks, he missed out on what's going on between these two women here. Of the entire population of the earth, the two happiest people on earth are these two women sitting in this little house in the northern part of Judah in the hill country. They're not rich. They're women, which means they have no status or reputation among men at all. But they're the happiest people on earth. Why? Because they believed. They believed the message of the angel, and they were able to rejoice in it. Notice what she says. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. If something shall come to pass, it's not contingent upon what we do. For he shall save his people from their sins. Does it say any if after that? Was there any if coming out of Gabriel's mouth when he told Mary what was going to happen? If you just believe this. No. It says you're happy because you believe. Because these things are going to come to pass. And so you're getting to rejoice in it because you believe. Here's an easy way to understand this. Turn with me, if you would, over to John chapter 11. The Lord was going to do these things anyway. But because she believed, she got to rejoice in it. In John chapter 11, we find that record of a man named Lazarus. And they come to Jesus and say, Lazarus is sick. And he's dying. Picking up in verse 11, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. They came to him when he was still sick, and Jesus doesn't go. Jesus allows Lazarus to die. They come to him and say that he sleepeth. Jesus says he sleepeth. They think, oh, that's good. You know, the doctor tells you to sleep and get some rest. Jesus said, no, it's a different sleep. Lazarus is dead. But then look at verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Jesus says, I'm doing something for your benefit. I didn't go. If Jesus had went, he would have healed him, most likely. And he said, I'm glad for your sake that I didn't go, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He said, I want you to believe in who I really am. He said, you've seen me heal people, but I want you to really see who it is that I am. What this means is, now, Jesus says, Lazarus is dead, but I go to him. What's he telling them he intends to do? Jesus intends to go there and raise Lazarus from the dead. Regardless of what anybody thinks or does, Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick, but Jesus waited and allowed Lazarus to die. And then he says, now I'm going to go to him, for the intent of raising him from the dead. And let's pick up the account here. He gets there and Martha's upset. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha believed in the resurrection of the dead, but it wasn't doing her any good. She was receiving no comfort and no hope from it because she sees her brother Lazarus dead. And she said, yeah, I know of that doctrine. I know he's going to raise. But she was receiving no hope in it at all. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She says, yeah, I believe in the resurrection. And Jesus says, no. Do you really believe in the resurrection? Because he's standing right here in front of your face. The one that's going to cause that resurrection that you say you believe in, I'm standing right here. Do you believe me? Now, whether she believes or not, what's Jesus going to do? He came there to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so what does he do? He raises him from the dead. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, at that time, they didn't bury folks in a three-piece suit in their shoes. I still don't know if they bury them in their shoes. But anyway, when he says, Lazarus, come forth, the stone has been rolled away. Lazarus is bound in grave clothes. You know what this means? He's in a cocoon. He can't move. Lazarus comes forth floating. Okay? Jesus brings him out of the grave, and when he tells the disciples, loose him and let him go, you know what he's saying? Get the grave clothes off of him so he can move and walk around. He brings him back to life. As evidence, Lazarus had nothing to do with that. He'd been dead 4 days, and he's also bound in grave clothes. So even if he was alive, he couldn't move. Jesus brings him forth. The disciples loose him and let him go. And then look here. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Jesus was going to raise Lazarus anyway, right? And so he turns to Mary and he says, Martha, and he says, Martha, don't you understand what I said? That I said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, brethren, the glory of God happened anyway. But the only way that Martha was going to see that it was the glory of God is that if she believed. The miracle happened. There might have been some people that saw it happen and think, wow. But those that believed saw what it truly was. That this was a confirmation that Jesus is the Son of God. Now let's go back to our account in Luke. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She's saying, Mary, you're blessed. And you're going to get to really enjoy this and have joy in this because you know what's going on and you're believing what's going on. It's going to happen anyway. Zacharias, he had a son even though he didn't believe, right? But he didn't get to rejoice in that verbally. He had to remain silent for 9 months. Couldn't talk to anybody about it. Couldn't hear anybody tell him about it. For 9 months, Mary, on the other hand, believed. The events were going to happen anyway, but Mary believed, and so she could rejoice for that 9 months and longer. You see the importance of belief here? Lord willing, next week we're going to get into what I call Mary's song, because what does she say next? My soul doth magnify the Lord. She gets to break forth into singing where Zacharias in unbelief was sentenced to silence. Here's the application for us, folks. God said, this is going to happen. Zacharias didn't believe, but it still happened. God said, this is going to happen, Mary. And it happened, and Mary got to rejoice in it. Mary was exuberant about it. Mary ran to Elizabeth's house. And I really like it. You need to look up that picture online. I don't know who did that painting of Mary and Martha together. But that rejoicing, that's just awesome. The only thing wrong with it is Elizabeth not old enough. Elizabeth was a lot older than that. But they rejoiced in the gospel. So here it is for us. God is going to save His people by His grace. God is going to do this in a sovereign work. So we have two choices. We can believe that God is going to save us, that He has saved us, and that He will ultimately deliver us unto glory despite what troubles come on us in this life. We have a choice to believe or to not believe. We have a choice to believe what we see with our eyes or to believe what we read in the Word of God. We have a choice to say, well, it looks like this out here. Well, yeah, I know God said this, but this is what's happening to me right now. Or we can choose to believe what Jesus said, let's get in a boat and go to the other side and don't worry about the storm that happens in the middle. We have a choice to, number one, doubt like Zacharias doubted. And while we may still receive the blessing of salvation, and we may still have that time where we get to contemplate, wow, yeah, the Lord saved me, but brethren, we have robbed ourselves of joy because we doubted in unbelief. Remember, you've been given the faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. You got the faith when he caused you to be born again. Zacharias had the faith, but he didn't use it. He doubted, and he was left in silence, not near the joy that he could have had. Or we can believe like Elizabeth, or more importantly, we can believe like Mary did. And what was it Mary did? She heard, and she with haste ran to learn more. So I believe that, and I'm going to work tomorrow. I believe that, and I'm going to go watch the Super Bowl today. I believe that, and I'm going to go this. I believe that, or I'm going to go do this. Or, by the way, that's the Zacharias method. If we just simply believe on Sunday morning and then we're silent about it, that's Zacharias. Or we can say, be it so, Lord, unto me, and then with haste go find out more. We run. That means we study the Word of God more. We live the Word of God more, and we prove it to ourselves, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are the verses before that? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All comes back together, doesn't it? When we believe, it's going to change. When we truly believe, it's going to change the way we think. And that's going to change the way we live. So we had those two choices. Doubt like Zacharias and continue living in darkness and in silence, or we can believe like Mary and we can run and we can learn more. And what's the result? We're happy, because that's what blessed means. May the Lord bless us to use the faith that he gave us so that we believe and we are happy.
Victorious God, what can we pray for?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. If you would like more information about this podcast or other ministries of Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church, please visit our website at bhpbc.org. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.